John, chapter 9. Book of John, chapter 9. The entire chapter is the record of the healing of a blind man and the discourse that grew out of this miracle. John is the only one of the four gospel writers to record this event. We see it took place in Jerusalem, somewhere in the vicinity of the temple. We read in John 8 and verse 59, "And they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." And as Jesus passed by, so he has left the temple, he's in the vicinity of Jerusalem, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So he comes into contact with this man who has been blind all his life. The fact of his blindness is stated 12 times in this chapter to make sure that we know that this man indeed was blind. We see the first statement is in verse 1. He was blind from his birth. In verse 2, it's stated again. He was born blind. In verse 6, toward the latter part of the verse, he's referred to as the blind man. In verse 8, we read, he was blind. In verse 13, him that aforetime was blind. In verse 17, again, he is referred to as the blind man. In verse 18, he had been blind. In verse 19, again, the third time, he was born blind. In verse 20, again, he was born blind. Verse 24, a man that was blind. Verse 25, I was blind. Verse 32, again, was born blind. It seems to me that the Lord wants us to know that this man was blind. He was blind. 12 times. He is referred to as being blind. The man's healing is stated 15 times in one way or another, that this blind man was blind no more. In verse 7, we read that he came seeing. And in verse 13, aforetime was blind. Verse 14, it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus opened his eyes. And then we see he received his sight in verse 18. The man's neighbors confirmed by asking him, "How were thine eyes opened?" In verse 10. The blind man himself confirmed, "I received sight." In verse 11. And in verse 15, "I washed and do see." And in verse 25, "I was blind, now I see." And in verse 30, "He hath opened mine eyes." We see the man's parents confirmed. By what means he now seeth, we know not. Who hath opened his eyes, we know not. Verse 21. We see the Pharisees also confirmed the man's healing by asking his parents in verse 19, "How then doth he now see?" And by their questions to the blind man, how he had received his sight. Verse 15, "What sayest thou of him that has opened thine eyes?" Verse 17. Verse 26, "How opened he thine eyes?" And then their last statement there in verse 32, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. So this man who had lived his entire life in darkness now sees. A life-altering change had been brought about by a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And we see it is verified throughout John chapter 9, and it is affirmed throughout chapter 9 that this man who was blind now sees. In this message, it's not our intent to look at the details of the miracle, though they are many and wonderful. We want to take the thought of the message from verse 25, the last part of that verse. Whereas I was blind, now I see. And that'll be our subject. Now I see. Now I see. He testified in verse 25, I was blind. So consider the man's condition. His condition was one of darkness. He could not see what was in front of him. He could not see what was on this side. He could not see what was on this side. He could not see what was below him. He could not see what was above him. Wherever he turned his head, there was darkness. Being blind, he therefore was oblivious to very significant things in his life. And being blind, his life was filled with mystery. His life was filled with mystery. His condition also was one of limitation and deficiency. Being blind, he had limitations. Being blind, he had deficiencies. And he had to deal with these limitations and deficiencies every day. Every day of his life since birth, he has dealt with these limitations. Blindness, no doubt, created some obstacles in his life that he had to deal with every single day. His blindness, no doubt, created some difficulties in his life that he had to face every single day. His blindness would cause him some troubles, and he would have some struggles that a seeing person would not have to deal with. His blindness was a hindrance to some degree every single day. His blindness to some degree every single day slowed him down and was an obstacle. His condition brought some danger in his life. He would be more prone to trip. He would be more prone to run into something. He would be more prone to bring harm into his life. So being blind brought some danger into his life. Brought the danger of harm to himself. He also would have been more prone to attack. He would have been an easy victim to rob or to attack. His condition, no doubt, would create some fear and some anxiety that a seeing person would not have. I believe a blind person certainly would have some fears that a person with sight would not have, and would have some anxieties that a person with sight perhaps would not have. And no doubt his blindness brought some sorrow into his life. So the man in our text was physically blind. And as terrible as that would be, Jesus reveals in our text, in John chapter 9, that there is a blindness worse than physical blindness. That being spiritual blindness. In fact, in John chapter 9, there are some others that were blind. Not physically, but they were blind. Even the disciples here in John chapter 9 were blind. In verse 2, and his they've seen the blind man in verse 1, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They see a blind man, and their immediate assumption is, somebody sinned. Were they not blind? Yes, they were. The disciples were blind to the big picture. They couldn't see beyond their little thoughts. They were blind. And many are blind in this way. In verses 8 through 12, there are the friends of the blind man. And they are stuck in the past, and they are unable to see the transforming power of God. Even though the transforming power of God is right in front of them, they can't see it. Why? Because they're stuck in the past. And many are blind in this way. There, of course, was the Pharisees. They were stuck in their religious tradition. And they were unable to see beyond their religious tradition. And many are blind in this way as well. There were the parents of the blind man. They were stuck in fear. They knew that a miracle had taken place. But they would not say so because they were fearful that they'd be cast out of the temple. So they too were blind, unable to see Christ as the one who's worthy of all. Unable to see Christ that they could leave the entire situation with Him and trust Him. So each of these individuals in John chapter 9 suffered from blindness. Only one suffered from physical blindness. But the other suffered from blindness as well. And so it is today. There is no one here that is physically blind. But there are all kinds of blindness present here today. And we all have it, to one degree or another, in one form or another. And much of this blindness is far worse than physical blindness. Causes us far more harm than physical blindness. Brings us into more danger than physical blindness. You see, many of God's people live in darkness. And they live very limited lives. They live very deficient lives. They live lives filled with danger and fear and anxiety and sorrow. All because they're blind. All because they can't see some things that are right in front of them. How many have suffered loss? Tremendous loss. Because they're blind. How many right now are spiritually depleted because they're blind? How many live below their possibilities because they're blind? Oh, how we need what this man in our text experienced. A miraculous power of Christ opening blind eyes. He says in verse 25, "I was blind. Now I see." Again, "I was blind." But then notice those words, "now." "Now I see." What glorious words. Those are glorious words just physically for you and I. To be able to get up every morning and say, "Now I see." What glorious words. What a blessing. To be able to see. These are words of wonder, because I was blind, now I see. These are words of transformation. I was blind, now I see. That means something has happened. Something has happened. There has been a transformation. I was blind, now I see. Now I see. There's been a transformation. Do you not believe that this man's perspective is now entirely different? This man's life has been transformed. Now I see. These are exhilarating words. Now I see. I was blind. Now I see. These are words of a joyful and thankful heart. Hear those words again. I was blind. Now I see. Think upon that word now. Our now can change without any warning. Our now can be a time of upheaval. It can be a time of uncertainty. Our now can be a time of heartache. It can be a time of anguish. It can be a time of distress. Our now can be filled with trials and pressures, temptations, and battles, and struggles, turmoil. Our now can be a time of disappointment. It can be a time of great anxiety. It can be a time of confusion. It can be a time of pandemonium. Our now may consist of innumerable obstacles. Our now might consist of financial problems. Our now might consist of health problems, or family problems, or career problems, or problems that we never saw coming. Our now might be in the wilderness. Our now might be way down in the depths. Our now might be in the furnace. Our now might be a time of darkness. It might be a time of loneliness. Our now may consist of a time when we can see the clouds rolling in. We can see a storm is coming. Or our now may be a time of fierce storm. Our now may be a time of dryness. It may be a time of brokenness and hurt. Our now may be a time when we are surrounded and engulfed with that which is threatening to sweep us away. Our now might be a time of impossibility. Might be a time of great weariness. It might be a time of overwhelming felt need. Our now might appear to be a dead end. It might appear to be hopeless. Our now might be a time of defeat. Our now may consist of whatever our now may consist of. Oh, to be able to say with this man, now I see. Now I see. Whatever your now consists of, now I see. Because whatever our now consists of, we need to see. There are some things we need to see. What we see physically, and what we see by faith, has a tremendous impact upon the way we live. It impacts the decisions that we make. It can determine fear or peace, what we see. What we see can be a determining factor in how we feel, how we think, our overall approach to life. You can see that many are blind just from their overall approach to life. Because if they saw, they wouldn't do the things they do. So, oh, to be able to say, an experience with this blind man, now I see. Now I see. I want to think briefly of some things that we need to see. No matter what our now is, to to be able to say and to be able to experience, now I see God. Now I see God. Yes, now may be a very difficult time, but now I see God. Makes all the difference. Makes all the difference in the world. Now I see God on high. The absolute sovereign one, ruling and overruling and excelling all things, reigning supreme in every realm, the most high, absolute, and settled one, who has authority and control in all matters. Now I see. Now I see God. To be able to say, now I see, whatever your now consists of, now I see the Almighty, the one who can still part the waters. I can see Him. The one who can still feed His people. The one who can still sweeten the bitter waters. The one who can still bring down any wall that man erects. Now I see God Almighty. The one who can still use the few and the feeble. The one who can still topple giants. The one who can still give victory against insurmountable odds. Who can still answer the prayers of His people in a mighty way. Who can still deliver out of any prison. Who can still deliver out of any situation. Who can still take our paltry means and do wondrous and unheard of things. Oh, to see Him as the great, the Almighty One. The great Emancipator and the Restorer. The one who is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. To be able to say and to experience, now I see God. When I look up, there He is. When I look over here, there He is. When I look over here, there He is. When I look ahead, there He is. When I look behind, there He is. When I look below, there He is. Now I see God. Oh, what a difference. What a difference that it makes. That wherever you look, there He is. The one who excels. Oh, the one who has already won the victory. He's already won it. The one who is our refuge. Now I see. Now I see God as my refuge, my protection, my safety, my supply, my help. I see God, my strength. He's the answer. Whatever the question, He's the answer. Whatever the problem, He's the remedy. I see God. And to be able to say whatever our now consists of, Now, I see God. He's my source. He's my source of joy and comfort and refreshment. And not only that, now I see God. He's available. He's accessible. Now I see. To be able to say and to experience whatever our now consists of, now I see Christ. I can see Him. I can see Him. The Christ in whom I have pardon. The Christ in whom I have nearness to God. And the righteousness of God and justification with God and cleansing and reconciliation with God and acceptance from God. Now I see Christ, my hope, my only hope. Oh, what glory to see the one that manifests the power and the grace and the love and the mercy of God. To see the one who stands in the gap between God and the sinner. There has never been a larger gap than the gap that is between God and the sinner. A perfect and holy God. And here is sinful man. Oh, what a gap! But in that gap stands Christ. Now I see Christ. The one who can transform death. The one who can transform darkness. The one who can transform hopelessness and weakness and weariness. The one who can transform anguish and sorrow and disappointment and defeat and chaos and uncertainty and fear. Now I see Christ. And in Him is light. In Him is healing. In Him is the strength that I need. In Him is the rest that I need. In Him is relief and joy and solace. In Him is fulfillment. In Him is encouragement and certainty and peace and courage. And in Him is victory. Oh, to be able to say, now I see Christ. I see Him as the prevailing Lamb of God. I see Him as God's solution. I see Him as God's cure. I see Him as the one who can lift the gloom and turn it into gladness, can lift the fear and turn it into courage, can lift the discontent and bring contentment, and on we could go. Oh, to be able to say, now I see Christ. I can see Him. I can see the fullness of the Godhead in Him. I see Him and He's the way. He's the way out of. He's the way unto. He's the way through. He's the way up. He's the way. I see Him. He's the burden bearer, the sympathizer, the friend, the one in whom all blessings flow. He's everything. Can you say whatever you're now is? Now I see God. Now I see Christ. And oh, to be able to say and experience, now I see this book as the Word of God. Whatever you're now consist of, whether it be something you consider good or bad, doesn't really matter. Whatever you're now consist of, can you say, now I see God. Now I see Christ. Now I see this book has breathed of God. I see it as the writing of the Creator of the universe. I see it as the writing of the all-knowing and all-wise God. I see it as the writing of the living God. The message. I see it as a message direct from God. I see that this is the Word of God. In the midst of a mess, and in the midst of ungodly, blasphemous, abominable philosophies of the wicked, I see this as the Word of God. Now I see. Oh, we need to see that. We need to see this book as the infallible, inerrant, inspired, flawless, untainted, that which is true and right, we need to see it as the Word of God. Now
I see. I see it as a fountain that cannot be drawn dry. I see it as something which is greater and more valuable than gold. I'm telling you, there's a lot of God's people that are blind. They are blind to the fact that this is the Word of God, and it's more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than anything in this world. Oh, to be able to say, now I see the Word of God. Now I see. We see it as certain, as firm, as unwavering, guaranteed, unfailing, and absolutely reliable. Now I see. If we see this book as that which is absolutely reliable, we're not going to be running off to see what so-and-so thinks. Now I see that this is the Word of God. These are truths, of course, that we all ought to know. But let's be honest. There isn't anyone here today that would deny the existence of God or the presence of God. But how many see Him? No one here would deny the deity of Jesus Christ. But how many see Him? I doubt if there's anyone here that would deny that this is the Word of God. But how often do we see it? There it is. There it is. That's the Word of God. I can depend on that. In the midst of a mess, I can depend upon it. To be able to say and to experience whatever our now consists of, now I see the importance of the spiritual over the temporal. It breaks my heart. I weep. There are people. There are people here. They cannot see the importance of the spiritual over the temporal. They can't see it. They're blind. But whatever our now consists of, to be able to say, now I see, the spiritual is more important than the temporal. Now I see. Now I see the truth of Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first. Yes, it says first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, how we need to be able to say, now I see that I am to live my life serving Him. Oh, I pray that you would not come down to your deathbed and then finally say, now I see that I was to live my life serving the Lord. And all this other stuff really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Oh, the earlier we see this, the happier our lives will be. Be able to say, now I see that I am to live my life with God having the preeminence, with God being the priority, with God being the emphasis of our life. I have never heard anyone on their deathbed say, oh, I'm so sorry that I live my life serving God. I'm so sorry that I put God first. I've never heard it and I never will. But I have heard people say, oh, I wish I would have put God first. Now I see. Now I see that He is to be the priority. He is to be the emphasis of my life. He is to be the focal point. He is to be the dominating factor, the object and the center of everything we do. Now I see. It'll change your life. Changes everything, what we see. To be able to say, now I see that God is my purpose for living. That Christ is my goal. He's my aim. He's my passion. Now I see how important it is to imitate Him and to obey Him and to be committed to Him and to lean upon Him. Oh, for folks to see the importance of leaning upon Him and depending upon Him and cleaving, holding on to Him. Now I see the importance of being identified with Christ. If we can see these things, it changes our now. Whatever our now is, to see these things change our now, it changes our attitude toward our now. To be able to say, now I see, I can live life experiencing Him. That He is to be a relevant force in all areas, in all aspects of my life. Be able to see that I'm no longer satisfied with just a profession. But I see that He's to be relevant. He's to be a relevant force in my life. And I see that my life is to be shaped by Him. So no matter what our now is, to see these things changes our now and fills us with a passion, a zeal, and an ambition. Fills us with determination and with a new attitude toward the Lord. You know, a lot of God's people have horrible attitudes, worse than a lost person, because they're blind. They can't see. I was blind. Now I see. That gives an entire new outlook upon life. It gives an entire new outlook upon every day. Now I see. You know how few there are that see their purpose in life? Now I see why I'm here. It's to serve Him. It's to glorify Him. It's to point people to Him. That's our purpose. It's not your purpose to straighten everyone out. That's not your purpose in life. Your purpose in life is to glorify Him. And all to be able to see our purpose. Now, I see. That needs to be an everyday experience in our life. To wake up every morning and be able to say, now I see. I can see God. I can see Christ. I can see that this is the Word of God. I can see that the spiritual is more important than the temporal. I can see why I'm here. Oh, what a difference it makes. And how excited this man was when he said, I was blind. Now I see. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song. Let's all stand.